Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out in Michigan Plains of Colorado. And, friends, we're going to talk about homeschool alumni today on the program. And one of the things I like to say at homeschool conferences is one of the neat things about being a homeschool graduate is you can have a class reunion anytime you want to. So no matter where you are, you can have a class reunion. And that's, of course, assuming that there was one person in your class, your twins, I guess, being homeschooled, you couldn't say that. But anyway, but there's a larger class reunion or national reunion of homeschool graduates that happens on a fairly regular basis, and we're going to talk about that on this edition of the program. We recommend home education on this program. We don't believe it's the only form of education known to man or the only form dictated in Scripture. We think that a relational form, a discipleship form, is really what you get when you study the form of education required in Scripture. And, of course, the parental involvement in children's lives, core to the education of a child. But today we're going to talk about home education and where home-educated children go. And we're going to draw in the Gen2Survey.com, something that we've already talked about on this program a number of times. We've got 3,000 people so far who've taken this survey, friends, and we're looking at a total of 20,000 people taking the survey, not just homeschool graduates, but we're looking at anybody 18 to 38 years of age, effectively the millennial generation. We're looking at a study, hopefully the largest study ever done of the millennial generation, raised in Christian homes, and where are they today? From what we've seen from Barna and Barna Research and other research organizations, Christians raised in Christian homes in the millennial generation are walking away from the faith big time. And we haven't seen numbers like this any time, I don't think, in the history of the Christian church over 2,000 years. Young people are leaving the church in droves. And why is that happening? What are the influences in their lives? How were they raised? And how will we, more importantly, how will we in the next generation raise our children that they might walk in the faith and that the faith might be solidified and strengthened in generations to come? That's near and dear to my heart on this program. And we're going to talk about some of these things on this edition of the program. Now, joining me is Camden Spiller, who is the director of Homeschool Alumni. Homeschoolalumni.org is where you need to visit the site. But he's organizing a national reunion of homeschool graduates, and they have had this homeschool alumni organization going on for a long time, as far back as I can remember. Camden, welcome back to the program.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. It's really good to be back here with you. I am pleased to have an opportunity to spend some time with you and your listeners today. And yeah, this has been, I think you and I last spoke probably about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
We have been going since 2005.
Okay.
And,
okay. Okay. So about 8 years now. And how many are involved on the site? I know you kind of network these people around the United States. About how many network on the site?
Yeah, it's it comes and goes. I think we're right under 6,000 active members right now.
Good.
It is. You know, it's average age is probably between 24 and 25 years old.
Okay, so we're looking at we're
homeschool graduates.
We're looking at the millennial generation of homeschool graduates from the 1990s for the last 20 years, really.
Yeah, really, it is. You know, it's, I mean, as you mentioned, this, you know, we've got the Christian evangelical homeschooling movement starting up in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
So then really, you know, gaining steam throughout late 80s, early 90s, bringing us to where we are now.
So
the homeschooling movement is coming of age. I mean,
there's
it's that time. We can begin to see the fruit of those, you know, of that generation.
And I'm really curious about this, Camden. Yeah, I'm wondering what the survey is going to tell us. Now we know that there's no utopia, no perfect way to do it, quote unquote. There's no recipe for success per se. Obviously,
sure,
everything
sure.
in God's hands, and we trust God's grace. But we're interested. We want to see what happened over the last 20, 30 years. Is it fair to say that the majority of the homeschool population over the first, say, 20 years of the movement were Christians or Christian evangelicals? Would you say 80-90%?
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I would say 90-plus percent of what we call that Christian, the Christian homeschooling movement. So this is what you see, you know, coming out of the mid-80s.
Right.
Before that, you know, there was the there was an unschooling. There was a 60s, 70s kind of hippie and post-hippie unschooling kind of movement.
Yeah.
Later in the 90s, we've seen more of this just alternative education kind of remote learning thing come under the homeschooling umbrella. But I think what we've got, you know, what we're talking about, that millennial generation, that even preceding that, coming out of the late 80s, I would characterize that as a evangelical Christian movement.
Now, you're smack in the millennial generation, I think, right? When were you being homeschooled, Camden?
Well, I'm 31 years old.
Okay.
So I was born, I may be on the early end of that. How do we count that? I was born in 81.
Right. Okay.
And, graduated, I guess, in 99.
Right. Right.
So, that's, I identify with that group. I mean, I'm the oldest of seven kids. So, me and all my siblings fall right in that group. We sure do.
Okay. We want to talk about the transitions of worldviews and where people are going. It seems to me that people are going in multiple directions. So none of this is very simple. And I don't think the results of this Gen 2 survey is going to be all that simple. It's going to be interesting, but I don't think we're going to simplify it very much because people are going in multiple directions.
Great factors.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing with this. And okay. I just went through the survey myself.
Okay.
And you're exactly right. I don't think if there are simple, formulaic answers, I don't have them. So,
yeah. Right. What did you think of the survey? I mean, how long did it take you to do it?
It took me probably about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. That's about average.
To get through it. And, I took some little notes. I kind of saved my answers and I want to look over it some more and think
okay.
about it. But,
great.
It really stood out to me. You're asking these, questions about, parental involvement. And I understand this, this is going to be some percentage, of homeschooling, kids taking the survey, but not exclusively. So
right.
I think, but even within the homeschooling demographic, asking about parental involvement, that's not always a given. There's
no.
a spectrum of experience.
No. And a spectrum of relationships. I mean, think about the father-son, father-daughter relationships and the mother-son relationships and the tension, began to grow from the time he was 10 years old till he was 14 and everything blew up. And, I mean, it's going to be all over the map. I mean, we don't really know. How this is going to turn out, but relationships are funny things. Some relationships might have gone south, but over time they were restored, and I think we're going to hear some of that too. What do you think?
I do. I think you have, you have that childhood phase of life, then you have that transitional phase of life, and then you have, the adulthood phase, and it's you're going to relate to your parents differently in those. And
I think my kids are going through that right now. We're all trying to figure out how to relate to each other. My kids are turning 16, 18, 20, and 22 this year.
Wow.
And I think we're in the midst of this tornado of I can't treat them like little kids anymore, and our relationships are shifting. They're transitioning. And, it's calling for a lot of humility.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well said. And it's... one thing, even just talking to my family recently, it's interesting how when you are, I think, raising kids and they're growing up, it may not be as apparent as it really is that raising kids and growing up is a growing experience for everyone. And like you said, the way that you relate to your kids at, 15, 16 is not the same as 25, 26.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're all called to... honor the Lord and to walk in a way that would please Him at every stage of life. Specifically with a lot of my work focused on homeschool graduates, a lot of the conversations we're having, especially like at the reunion, some of the topics we'll have, there are understanding, what does it mean to honor your parents?
Yeah.
How do you do that through these various stages of life? And really through a spectrum of experiences, because Kevin, you and I grew up. I mean, we had overwhelmingly positive experiences. And
generally speaking,
great relationships.
Generally speaking,
yeah. And well, I mean, I know that we both have great relationships with our fathers to this day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of experiences. It's not everyone's experiences, and so, yet we are all called to honor our mother and father. So, a lot of issues, a lot of good things to talk about.
Uh-huh. Sure. Now, let's talk about culture a little bit, because we did have some cultural questions. I'm not sure we picked the very, very best ones, but we threw a few of them in there. Your thoughts on that? Do you think that's going to, we're going to find out that there are people who were very much influenced by the culture almost more so than their own parents?
Yeah, I thought those were interesting. There were, and just going off rough memory here, there were some things about just kind of cultural influences, and I saw that like in the kind of music or entertainment you listen to, those kind of things.
Right.
But there was even some earlier things about maybe church involvement. And
yes, right.
Your churches, it was church and culture. Were those each more or less influential mm-hmm. than your parents.
Yes.
And
what do you think is going to happen there? Do you think that that church and culture will play a part?
Well, okay, so let me speak to the church part. One question you had that was specifically was very insightful was asking us to quantify how many church splits or fractures have we been.
Yeah, exactly. As in, there's people who go through highly negative experiences. I mean, Camden, will not believe the number of random people I meet on the streets who have been incredibly jaded by the church. Incredibly jaded. Because of so many negative experiences where, you know, by their church splits, ye shall know them. Isn't that in 1 John somewhere? Oh, wait.
Those terms should not be synonymous.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I think there will be people who will say, actually, my church experience was very good. And there will be some who said, actually, my church experience was very bad. And I think that will play a part in their in where they are today.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And I kind of, I appreciate that you've got an age thing on there because I think that will maybe allow us to examine the data and maybe some trends within the last 25, 30 years.
Your take.
I know my growing up, the church experience was rough. We were always the only homeschooling family. When we didn't, feel like it was a good influence on our family to do the youth group thing, mm-hmm. that causes friction. And I think.
What's interesting is that a lot of parents, I think, understand that there's a tremendous influence on the part of mass culture that usually makes its way into the craw of a kid by way of his peer group. And so they come to the conclusion that having their kids hang out with lots and lots of peers for lots and lots of time may not be the healthiest thing for them if the parents are trying to establish a different culture in the home than what, say, Katy Perry and Lady Gaga are all about.
That's exactly right. And I think, as parents, my kids are both still very young right now, but I guess 3 and just turned 1 year old. So
congratulations.
The early end of this.
Yeah.
Thank you. But I think as parents, I think, and this is, drawing on my own limited experience and then discussion with my parents and other parents around the country, I think we probably really overestimate our ability as parents to counter the culture that we surround our kids with.
Okay.
And I would not, you've got to balance that with a isolationist kind of perspective, which is also harmful and, and wrought with peril. But if we can't really expect to raise our kids in, immersed in a culture that is antithetical to everything we believe, to what Scripture teaches, and expect positive results.
There are so many tensions on this one, Camden. It seems to me that if you're going to toss your kid into a shark tank, it would be good for you to swim into the tank with them and point out the sharks. You follow me there? In terms of culture, in terms of watching movies or participating in the mass culture, something that my parents didn't do and something I have learned is if we have any access to the pop culture around us, ergo movies or whatever it happens to be, I want to be there sitting in the seats next to my kids. And by the way, we did that recently with a movie that was recommended by lots and lots of our Christian friends. Our family, a number of our kids were there, and we were there, and we were taking notes. And then I typed up 3 pages of notes. And then during Bible time the next morning, we read our scripture, and we sang our psalms and all the rest. And then I said, okay, we're going to talk about the movie. And I had 3 pages, and I made copies. for everybody,
Wow.
Said, okay, now
wow.
Point number one. And we had a great discussion. That's me taking this very seriously. And saying, we've got to look at the sharks now. Now that's a shark over there, and that's a tiger shark, and that would be a great white. And over here, you'll find, we're in the shark tank, and I'm pointing out some of the sharks. It seems to me that one of the things you're going to see with homeschool graduates is that they were protected and isolated, but they were never really, really given a solid worldview foundation by which they could interpret what is going on in the world around them. And I mean, do you see that from time to time?
Yeah, I do. I know exactly what you're hitting on, and that, that whenever you've got a I guess, a home life, for lack of a better word, that is disconnected. It doesn't teach you how to see the world outside of that. You're going to be in a dangerous spot.
More disadvantaged. And,
but at the same time, I see that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still, I do see cases, where, you know, that's certainly the case. And you see kids get out there and get eaten up, or going off the deep end or whatever. And so I see that on the one hand.
Yeah, okay.
But on the other hand, and what I see a lot and what I'm very excited about is, as homeschoolers, we grew up outside the mainstream culture.
Yeah.
So we have our default way of thinking is out of the box.
Right.
That's not because we're trying to, let me be creative about the way I think about it. Okay. It's because we were raised outside the box. So we can't help but come at it with a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So a huge advantage that we have is that we don't see this culture around us as necessarily determining the culture that we create,
okay.
The culture in which we raise our own kids. We understand that, like you're saying, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, whatever kind of the cultural influences are on mainstream pop culture, those are not all there is to life.
Mm-hmm.
We can and will and have, our parents have, defined a culture with different influence.
And I like to say that we get the electrodes off, we get out of the matrix, and now we can examine what the matrix is. You know, we can sort of, once you get electrodes off, you get your brain out of the jar and get yourself disconnected from the matrix. Now you can kind of look at this pop system that seems to be programming all the automatons around you and say, now, wait a minute, let's understand the worldviews whereby these people operate. And that's the kind of thing I'm trying to do with my new book, Apostate, as well, especially in the last section of the book. I'm really trying to get people to examine and understand the worldviews behind these things. And lots of homeschool kids are able to do that.
Yes. I love what you're doing there. You're exactly right. And I mean, even just the understanding, like to use that matrix kind of analogy, just understanding that there is a matrix and these things aren't just, and I'm speaking allegorically, but that there's a culture out there that is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy everything that the Lord would have us do with our lives, and that we have not only the responsibility but the opportunity to not follow it, to not drink that Kool-Aid, to not plug into that system.
Yeah.
So I think our being raised outside the mainstream. There's the potential negative of that we've talked about, but it's a huge opportunity, and that's largely what I have. I'm tremendously excited about that.
Do you ever see homeschool graduates highly isolated in younger years, and then they get out into the world and they say, "Boy, I'd sure like to check out that sewer pipe," and they swim down into that sewer pipe and they just get all immersed into it to find out how bad it can be to be addicted to drugs and alcohol and maybe pornography and get as many addictions going as possible, sort of ruin your life, and then 12, 14, 15 years later go, maybe it wasn't as great as it was cracked up to be. No pun intended.
My son is 3 years old, and we're on kind of this health food, low sugar kind of kick, and so birthday party, and he's just he's like three sodas and two pieces of cake, and he's just indulging, going off the deep end, and then sugar crash. You see the same kind of thing with like you're talking about, a kind of an overly sheltered, isolated segment of the homeschool population. They get out there in the world, I'm free, and it is,
What percent do you think? I mean, is that a high percent? Is that like half? Is that like 30%? Do you have a feel for that?
I would definitely be in the less than half, maybe 30% if I was. But what I can, what I can do is probably just throw a dart on the wall. So I'm very interested to see the results of your survey, but I also know just from experience that it's not uncommon. Again, a topic we're going to deal with at the reunion is you know, living in family situations where siblings have gone off the deep end, you know, whatever that means. And, you know, asking the questions, what does that mean? And, you know, how can we, you know, how can we serve the Lord in those situations?
And one of the things I just want to make sure people understand is that people's lives are in transition. We never really know what will happen over the long haul, so we never give up. And we encourage continued prayer and reaching out to these folks that sometimes make it through their wayward paths. And I think it's important. I think it's a part of the life of faith for the rest of the siblings and certainly the parents to stay on their knees and continue to, you know, love, hopes all things, and to reach out and to believe and hope that God will work in these folks' lives.
Yes, amen.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some unique issues as homeschoolers with that. Yeah, a lot of us, you know, grew up with a lot of secondary kind of issues, various convictions that families had, and you have various reactions to those.
And the kids are not going to be carbon copies of the parents. We know that. And I guess the hope is they'll be standing on their parents' shoulders, or maybe their parents' knees, or maybe even their toes, and, you know, and they'll take this thing a little further. And I know I've tried to do that in my own life. Yeah. And I know my dad appreciates what I'm doing. I truly believe that. My father is very supportive. In fact, he'll be with me at a conference in Medford, Oregon over the weekend again. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's great. My dad just supports me in what we're doing. And he sees that I'm doing my best to sort of, you know, take the 1.4 talents he gave me and add, you know, 0.8 talents and take it 2.2 kind of thing, you know. So you know, I think that's the thing that we want to see happening. We want to see change with our children. We want to see them developing and hopefully becoming more and more like Christ and more submitted to the Scriptures.
Exactly. Well, on that point, there is so much to be drawn from our parents. And even, you know, so if we just talk about homeschooling in it of itself, our parents, I mean, it was a radical departure from what they knew as normal.
Oh, man.
Homeschool us.
A huge leap of faith.
Huge. And some of them had a sense of the weight of what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Others were just kind of one step after another. You know, I think, you know, this is where the Lord's leading. This is what I think, you know, I see this in Scripture, honey. Do you think this is how we should do this? Yeah. And it just kind of, you know, one step at a time. But so you look at that and you look at the magnitude of that step. And as a homeschool graduate, you can't say, okay, well, I was homeschooled, you know, radical departure, you know, I've arrived.
No.
We've got to realize that was one step. That was a step that was motivated out of a desire to align every area of your life to the Word of God. And what are those next steps?
And all homeschooling is just another vehicle. I mean, it's a vehicle. You can do very badly in the vehicle. I mean, you run the vehicle over the edge and go airborne off of the Wolf Creek Pass, and you're busting up, baby. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
it may be a better vehicle. In other words, you're moving from a VW Bug to a 2012 Excursion where you can kind of power it up, you know, and make it work. But you can also drive it off the road, baby. And I know people who get into the homeschool vehicle and drive that thing off the road, and it's a disaster, you know.
It is.
So I think we got to remind folks that what we choose tend to be vehicles, and it's still hey, we got to drive, and we still got to make it between the guardrails and between the ditches in life. And there are many, many ditches, you know, between the relationships and rules and hands and heart, and, you know, how do we discipline a child? You got to work the hands, got to work the heart, got to focus on rules, focus on relationships. It's a little grace, but it's a little law. It's a little structure. It's a little freedom. It's, you know, you got these ditches right and left, and you're like, oh, I got to drive this thing. And and the homeschool vehicle will help you, but there's no recipe, and it's you got to be, you know, on your knees in the cockpit as you're driving this thing, and praying to God that He will help you to keep this thing on the road.
Exactly. You know, I think one of the great opportunities we do have now, just in this is a second generation issue as much as it is, you know, new homeschooling families coming to the homeschooling movement today. We have a church landscape, churches around the country that are much more accepting, most times very encouraging,
wow.
many times outright supporting
wow.
of
okay.
the parents taking, taking this kind of responsibility, personal mm-hmm. and direct responsibility to teach their kids. So a lot of the hazards we had in the first generation, can be, mitigated.
Wow.
You know, again, this
yeah.
isn't like a, you know, this isn't a cure-all, but
yeah.
we have an opportunity for community and fellowship that was extremely rare
yeah.
in earlier times.
That's a good
and
point. That's a good point. There are some
sure.
really important positives here, Camden. Important positives. And we learned some lessons. I think a lot of us failed early on with kind of a recipe-driven, you know, legalistic system that wasn't all that tied to Scripture. We made mistakes. I think a lot of parents made mistakes, and many of them are humble enough to acknowledge it, and they've repented of that, and they kind of picked themselves up, and their kids are doing better. And, you know, there are some good stories here.
Oh, there are. There are. And I'm not, you know, I'm not inclined to beat us up or beat the, you know, a first generation up too much on that kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
at all, really, because
yeah.
you have, you know, pioneers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you read some pioneer stories of settling the West. Those were some rough people.
And there were a lot of dead bodies along the way. You know, it wasn't easy. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There were. But mm-hmm. Blazing trails is always
yeah.
Hard work. And mm-hmm. it was a tough thing. I mean, when, when deciding to homeschool your kids put you on the outs with extended family and church and community and, you know, all that kind of stuff, boy, those were some tough days. And I think it created there's a different kind of people who walk through that. And I think we learn from that. Like you're saying, we stand on the scriptures, we learn the lessons, we honor them, and we do some things differently,
yeah.
and we keep moving.
I'm really curious about this Gen 2 survey, and I'm very, very focused on the second generation, Camden, especially as the second generation like you become the next fathers and mothers and leaders of the movement in the next generation. And we, I think, are going to face some difficult, challenging times ahead, especially with the sort of the breakdown of the socioeconomic systems that we're facing right now. The millennial generation will really need to step up. And it will be interesting to see the demographics of those who have come out of homeschooling. Are they prepared? Will they be ready? And are they ready to take up these challenges and move this thing ahead in the next generation? This, to me, is a huge question. And I have huge confidence in many young people I've met around the country, including yourself, Camden, to take up the reins and move this thing ahead. I mean, tag, you're it. You know, you're in the next generation. So it's going to be interesting to see this thing move ahead in the next couple of decades. In fact, I want to do a leadership conference next year for those who are interested in this Gen 2 issue of the millennial generation sticking with the faith or leaving the faith and how to hand the baton off to the next generation. We want to talk about this in a conference next year. But first, I want to talk about your conference coming up here in September. It is the National
yeah.
Reunion of Homeschool Graduates in Salem, Oregon. Just give us a few details here.
Yeah, sure. So this is, I guess, our sixth or seventh year doing these. This is a national gathering. Last time I think there were 32 or 33 states represented, people coming from those various states. So all across the country,
mm-hmm.
4 days.
Okay.
Opportunity for folks to engage in these topics we're talking about today, and also just to be surrounded by other, by like-minded, by homeschool graduates, by people who
yeah.
understand what it's like to, you know, have been where you've been and you know, who are going where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to underestimate until you kind of get there and see that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've grown up and, likely, you know, if you've gone off to college or gone into the work world, whatever it is, you're probably not socially isolated. But at the same time, you know, these people are not, they're not like you in so many, in some very fundamental ways because of the way they were raised and the differences.
Right.
In
right.
formative
experience. Right. You rearrange the first domino in the socialization of a child. It's probably going to affect the other dominoes. It's amazing how that works. And I make that point a lot.
Yeah, it is. And so that kind of unspoken camaraderie with these people you've never met
mm-hmm.
is
pretty neat.
Remarkable.
Yeah,
it is
pretty neat.
So,
yeah, I've been there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have. We've had. You were with us, I think, four years ago
yeah.
When we had our conference in Colorado. We
yeah.
moved it around different parts of the country every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really encourage folks to come. There's a lot of first timers this year, so that's kind of cool.
That's great.
So, okay. You know, if it's a good thing to check out.
Homeschoolalumni.org, friends. Homeschoolalumni.org for the 2.5 million homeschool graduates around America, some of whom may want to attend this conference. Won't be room for all 2.5 million of you, but Camden certainly has room for a lot of you. So come on down to Salem, Oregon, for the National Reunion of Homeschool Graduates, September 2nd to the 7th, out in Salem, Oregon. Again, homeschoolalumni.org. Camden Spiller, thanks again for joining us on Generations. We always enjoy your visits.
Thank you, Kevin. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Always enjoy our conversations with Camden Spiller. And friends, I hope you've enjoyed our conversation as a couple of homeschool graduates get together for their own little class reunion on the Generations broadcast. If you would like to interact with our program, friends, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation. Folks, one of the passions we have on this radio program is to see a Malachi 4 revival in the hearts of fathers and sons across America. I believe this is the catalyst to the restoration of faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century. And that's why we are sponsoring our Father-Son Retreat in Colorado. And folks, we have selected the most inspiring, visionary speakers we can find for this Father-Son Retreat. And you will enjoy inspiring talks, Father-Son Olympics, hiking, swimming, sports, and most importantly, time away with your son in the Colorado mountains. The event takes place at one of the very best mountain resorts in Colorado, the Crooked Creek Ranch, nestled in a stunning mountain range near Fraser. Please register today at check.org on the web for this once-in-a-lifetime experience for you and your son. That's check.org on the web, C-H-E-C.org, or call 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432 to be a part of the Father-Son Retreat.